Can the Falcons snap the four-game losing streak, get revenge on Carolina, get Michael Penix Jr. fixed? Let's find out on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's welcome in our good buddy Mark Raimondi, ESPN Falcons reporter and insider. Mark, crazy week at Flowery Branch. Let's start with the quarterback. Obviously, Michael Penix Jr. Is under a lot of fire right now with the way he's been performing of late. What have you seen from him in these games? What can we identify are the areas that he needs to improve on to get back on track?
I mean, I think everyone kind of knows the issues, right? There's an accuracy issue right now. And some of that is his fault. Some of that is, I think that I think it's pretty obvious that his receiving core has really not pulled its weight to this point outside of Drake London. I think maybe he needs to get Bijan Robinson more involved. But right now, they just don't have, like, you know, Kyle Pitts has been fine, but Darnell Mooney has not played well. Drake London has played great, but you need more than just one guy in the passing game that you can rely on. And right now, for Michael Penix Jr., he doesn't have that, and he's a young quarterback. He's only started 11 games in the NFL, and he's been off and on. You know, played real well against New England, did not play very well at all against Indianapolis, played real poorly the last time against the Panthers, and really, really needs a bounce-back performance tomorrow against Carolina in a game that is really really a pivotal game for the Falcons' entire season.
Yeah, 3-7 is near impossible to come back from. 3-6 is hard enough, but 3-7 is almost a certainty. The running game got back on track last week, 140 total yards, which you would think would be pretty good, except when you give up nearly 300 or over 300 total to the opposition. But what did you see last week compared to the previous few weeks that did allow for some holes to open up?
Yeah, that was the first game of the season, Chris, where Bijan Robinson got over 75 yards and the Falcons lost. Previously, they were actually undefeated when Bijan Robinson got to that 75-yard mark. So the running game, you're right, was better. And I think that the issue is really third down. You know, third down has been an absolute struggle. 3-29 over the last three games for the Falcons on third down. And that, you just can't win like that. And, you know, the coaching staff is saying, well, you know, we're getting a lot of third and longs. You know, that's been the issue. I mean, yeah, but that's, like, whose fault is that, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's not really an excuse. You got to do better on those downs. And I think you do need to get the ball to Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier more as a whole. I think that they went away from the run a little bit in the second half. Even when they were ahead a little bit against the Colts, they went away from the run. And I think you really have to commit. Even if it's not working every time, you need to continue pounding the ball with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. And I think if they continue to do that, especially in the second half, I think good things will come.
How much do you think Zach Robinson's inability to make in-game adjustments is hurting the offensive production right now?
It's so hard to say because there's a lot of things that are not working. And a lot, you know, blame falls on Penix. Blame falls on Zach Robinson, blame falls on the offensive line and the protection that Penix is getting, which has not been great. Even the run blocking has not been very good so far this year for the Falcons. And I think that plays a part in everything. So there's definitely blame to go around, and it needs to be fixed as a unit, because if just one of those things gets better, that may not be good enough either.
I think one of the underrated things that's not being talked about much because of how many other issues there are, as you said, as we're talking to our buddy Mark Raimondi, make sure you check out his work at ESPN covering the Falcons, is Charlie Warner not having a good season. And we know how pivotal he is to the blocking game, to the point where there have been some games where he's just not been out there all that much. And I think that's really hurting the running game.
100%. He is a key to the entire offense that fans don't really see because he's a blocker, right? But he really is a guy that is so crucial to what this offense wants to do. And you can make the argument that, you know, outside of the quarterback, the Falcons offense kind of goes as Charlie Warner goes, and he's been banged up, and I think that's part of the reason why he hasn't had the year that he had last year, is that he has been dealing with injuries. But again, if you're out there and you're playing, you can't really use that as an excuse, and then they really need to figure out, you know, if that is not working, they need to find another way. And I'm not sure what that is, but they need to figure out another way. If that is a tool that they cannot use the way they did successfully last season.
There might not be any insight to this because it might not just be known, but given what happened with Darnell Mooney, now that we know, given what happened with Ray McLeod, why did this team not get wide receiver help?
Yeah, I mean, that is a great question. I don't know the answer. I know that the defense was something that needed to be addressed very badly. They had limited resources, as we know, in free agency as far as cap room. And then they spent those first four picks in the draft on defensive players. And you know what? All of them have played quite well. So you can't really complain about that as far as that goes. The question is just, was there somebody else out there at the right price that they could have gone out and gotten? And I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I'm not sure. You know, Mooney was almost a 1,000-yard receiver last year. You didn't know that he was going to get hurt the first day of training camp and be out for as long as he was. And he's still just not right. And Ray McLeod, like, you know, we don't really know what happened there. But, you know, he had over 600 yards last year again. So, and kind of going through the season thinking, like, all right, we're at least stable at that position, even if we don't have a lot of depth. And it came back to bite them. That's just kind of what happened.
It's been interesting because a guy like Casey Washington was an absolute standout in camp. I know he got a concussion, but between he and David Sills, I mean, I don't want to use the word comical, because that's really harsh, but it's been pretty bad to watch the wide receivers outside of Drake London try to make anything happen, Mark, to the point where it's almost like the only people you can throw the ball to are Bijan out of the backfield, Pitts, and Drake. Those are your literally three only options.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right on Casey Washington. I really thought after watching him every day in training camp that it was going to be a big year for him, and I thought he might have emerged as maybe the third wide receiver. That was even when they had Ray McLeod, because he played that well during training camp, but it just didn't manifest itself. And I do think, again, injuries have played a part with Casey Washington as well. But he's a guy that, when we talk about Michael Penix Jr. and how sometimes his passes are hard to catch, right? But Casey Washington had not struggled at all, because he spent all of last season as the, you know, a scout team receiver with Penix, and they developed the chemistry. But again, it just has not manifested itself in the games so far this season for whatever reason.
All right. On the other side of the ball, we've been talking about this all week. The sack numbers have obviously been great, but you can't give up a combined total, Mark, of almost 500 yards to Christian McCaffrey and to Jonathan Taylor on the ground. The two guys that you needed to stop this season have gutted you over the air and through the ground for almost 500 yards combined. They get another tough test this week in Rico Dowdle. What have you made from the interior defensive line? I know the guys on the edge are actually doing their part, but this team cannot keep giving up gash play after gash play up the middle.
This was a team that was very clearly built, at least as far as defense, to stop the pass. And Jeff Ulbrich made no bones about that, even in OTAs and training camp. This was a team that built its defense to defend against the pass, because that is the trend in the NFL. It's a passing league now. So they've done a pretty darn good job against opposing quarterbacks. It's been a massive improvement over last year, where quarterbacks were completing the highest percentage against any team against the Falcons as far as completion percentage. But like you said, they struggle against the run. And I would argue, honestly, Turtle, that was not the reason why they lost those games. You know, even when the running game for the other team was doing so well, they still had opportunities to win that game because of how well they played against the pass. But certainly, this is just a team. This is just the weakness of the team, and they put all their eggs in the basket of defending the pass, and that's just going to be a hole that they got to figure out a way to at least contain. And losing Divine Diablo, he was kind of like the one guy that was keeping it from getting out of hand, the running game, and now they lost him, at least for another couple of weeks. He may be back, Raheem Morris said, maybe even by next week, which would be a really a big addition for that team.
So, Mark, let me serve back to you this way. You're 100% right, but the problem is the offense can't keep drives going. The time of possession is as lopsided as any team in the NFL, and then by the end of the game, you allow the Colts to go right down the field because your defense is absolutely gassed.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was an issue last year, too, and part of that is because that part of that is on the offense for not being able to sustain drives. So we have to kind of, you know, put a little bit of the onus on the offense there, too, because that was an issue last year, too. Remember that Washington game late last season?
Yeah.
Where that defense just could not get off the field. And you're seeing a little bit of that again this year. But I will say this. The defense has made stops in key moments. That fourth down last week, right? And the offense has not been able to come back and pick them up. And that's been an issue. They're just not playing complementary football. And it seems like it's been a rare occurrence where you have the defense and the offense clicking at the same time. And I feel like this is the second season in a row where we're talking about that. And that's a concern for the coaching staff.
Before I let you go, it's crazy to think. I honestly thought there was a real chance, Mark. I don't know if you agree that the Falcons may have had an interim special teams coordinator for the rest of the year after what happened with the Colts. Three drives that started on the 50 of the Falcons for the Colts offense or further up the field. And special teams, quite frankly, in coverage and in return, just has been very subpar, to put it politely.
Yeah, and that's why you can't. That's why there's a lot of blame to go around. Like, there's a lot of finger pointing to go around. This is a team that you can't just say, "Hey, this one thing is not working," and if it got better, they'd be a winning ball club. Because there's been too many things that have not worked for stretches. So that's obviously an issue. You know, I think as a whole, Marquise Williams has done a pretty darn good job with the Falcons. That hasn't really been an issue over the years. But between the issues with the kicking and now the coverage, these are definitely things they need to address, and they got to figure out, you know, what is going on, because they did actually invest in getting good special teams players in the offseason, right? You know, they brought in Mike Ford. They brought in Jamal Agnew as a returner. You know, these are guys that help on special teams specifically. Even Felipe Franks, right, a guy that helps on special teams. So what is the issue? You know, what is not working, and how do you fix it? And that's what they got to address.
Mark, great stuff. We'll be reading you on ESPN. Thanks for popping on. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, man.
All right, that is Mark Raimondi there of ESPN. Good stuff there from him. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, yeah, let's get this one thing fixed, and then it's kind of like whack-a-mole. It's like, yeah, let's get this one thing fixed. Oh, then another thing pops right back up. All right, 404-726-0929 is the number. You just heard Mark Raimondi. You heard Miles Garrett earlier. All the opinions about what's going on at Flowery Branch. If you're on hold, stay there. You'll be first up. 404-726-0929. The question is simple. What's more important to you as a Falcons fan tomorrow? To see this team break their four-game losing streak, stats and everything else can be darned, or do you want to see Michael Penix Jr. get back on track? What is the most important thing for you as a Falcons fan to see tomorrow? We'll also get to five true and false with Josh. We got plenty to do. Chris Thomas with you till 3:00.